the Day of Trumpets. Yahweh's appointed time for an acclamation of joy or a battle cry, depending upon whose side you stand. The house of Judah refers to the first 2 days of the seventh month as Rosh Hashanah, which means the head, or new, or the first of the year. And they celebrate it this year on the 29th and 30th of September in 2014, a two-day tradition based on astronomical computations designed to make sure that at least one of the days will be correct according to Scripture. They do this to avoid the confusion when believers cite the new moon on different days in different areas of the world. In the process, they've created a doctrine that is not biblical. Additionally, the phrase Rosh Hashanah is found in Scripture, but it is not found in reference to the Feast of Trumpets. Let's see where it is found. Exodus 12, verse 2, we read, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Okay. And below this are the key words transliterated. "This HaKadosh shall be your Rosh Kadashim. It shall be the Rosh the Roshon Kadashi Hashanah to you." We can hear the Rosh Hashanah in this verse. The first and the last words of the phrase Roshon Kadashi Hashanah, translated literally, it might read, "This, the new moon, shall be your beginning of new moons. It shall be my first new moon of the year to you." And before we go any further, let me insert here a little Hebrew lesson about Kadosh and Kadash, which reference new moon and renewal, and the words Kodesh and Kadosh, which reference holiness. The Hebrew word Kadesh, spelled Ket Dalet Shin, means a new moon. It comes from the root word Kadash, which means to make new, that is, to renew or to rebuild. The term Brit Kadashah, for example, means the renewed or rebuilt covenant, translated New Testament in English. You get the idea of renewal as something cyclical, returning to the same point over and over again. This is a constant theme throughout Scripture. In the 23rd Psalm, the phrase paths of righteousness literally means cycles of righteousness, referring to everlasting repetitions of holy convocations of Yahweh's word, including the weekly Sabbath, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, Feast of Weeks called Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, and the Last Great Day. The word path is the Hebrew word agol, which means revolve, circular, or round. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 reads, "Behold, the days are coming, says Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." The term that Jeremiah is using is Brit Chadashah. He is describing a rebuilt covenant, one agreement between all 12 tribes of Israel and Yahweh, including those grafted into Israel. In order to obey the law of Yahweh, the New Testament is not a brand new agreement in which Yahweh says, okay, you don't have to obey me anymore. You don't have to meet with me on the days I sanctified, the days I set down to show you my plan of salvation, and you don't have to pay attention to my prophets anymore. No. How could he go against his own word? Impossible. Yahshua's inheritance the whole house of Israel back to the father. Both sons, the son who stayed home and the prodigal or unsaved son who left home and fell into the distorted ways of the world. I just want to give a few more examples so that you get the full impact of this word, Kaddish. In 1 Samuel 11:13, we read, "But Saul said, 'Not a man shall be put to death this day, for today Yahweh has accomplished salvation in Israel.' Then Samuel said to the people, 'Come, let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there.'" Renew here is the word Kaddish. They weren't going to create something new and different. They were going to restore the kingdom. Psalm 51, verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, Elohim, and renew a right spirit within me." Renew here is the word Kaddish. Restore Yahweh's spirit within me. Lamentations 5, verse 21. "Turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored. Renew our days as of old." The words turn and restore both have the Hebrew root shuv, which means return to the starting point. The phrase, "turn us back to you, O Yahweh, and we will be restored," teaches us that Yahweh is the one who can restore us to his way. The phrase renew is Kaddish. Kaddish are your days as of old, which teaches us essentially to pray that Yahweh's will shall be done on earth as it is in heaven, as it was in the beginning. Now, there is a different word that resembles the word Kaddish. It is Kadosh, and it's spelled Kuf Dalet Washin, Kuf Dalet Washin, and means holy or set apart. For example, in Isaiah 6, verse 3, we read, "And one," speaking of the seraphim, "cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is Yahweh of hosts.'" And that is in Hebrew, Kadosh, 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 Yahweh Tzabaot. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is repeated in Revelation 4, verse 8. "The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Yahweh El Shaddai.'" Now, Yahweh El Shaddai is in Hebrew. In the Greek, it's the words Kurios, Hateos, and Pantokrator in the Greek, who was and is to come. Now, Kodesh means a holy one or being holy. A holy convocation, for example, is Mikra HaKodesh. The Holy Spirit is the Ruach HaKodesh. So let's go back to our discussion about the beginning of the new year and the only verse in Scripture that refers to Rosh Hashanah. In Exodus 12, verses 2 and 3, and verse 11, the second part of 11. "This month shall be your beginning of months," that is, the Roshon Kadashi Hashanah. "It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month," which is the month of Abib, "every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Okay, and now skipping down to the end of verse 11, we read, "So you shall eat it," that is the lamb, "in haste. It is Yahweh's Passover." Yahweh says the new year begins on the first day of the month of Abib. But why then does the house of Judah proclaim that the Feast of Trumpets is the head of the year? Perhaps it is a reference of a couple of other scriptures, namely Exodus 23, verses 14 through 16, which read, Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. And in parentheses it reads, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. End of parentheses. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year. And that the word end of the year is batzit hashanah. Batzit hashanah. When you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. The key to understanding what is going on here rests in the word end, in the phrase end of the year in verse 16. It is the Hebrew word batzit from the Hebrew word yatzah, a word with a myriad of meanings, only a few of which suggest the meaning end. I'll spare you the time of reading through the huge list of synonyms, because what seems clear is that it points to something significant, like the last harvest of the year. In that sense, it would be the end of the work year for an agrarian society, a respite from toil. The idea of the ingathering at the end of the year is also referenced at Exodus 34, verse 22, where it is described as the year's end. Tekufat Hashanah, not Rosh Hashanah. The three annual feast times are again mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, verses 1 through 17. However, there is no mention here of an end, or the beginning, for that matter, of the year. It seems to me that shouting Happy New Year and blowing trumpets to celebrate a new year on the Day of Trumpets is a bit presumptuous. To me, it demeans the day that Yahweh established as the new year, the new moon that appears when the first fruits of barley harvest are just about ready to be cut for the wave sheaf offering to Yahweh. The wave sheaf is, of course, a reference to the first fruits, Yahshua the Messiah. That may be another reason the house of Judah does not celebrate the new year in the month of Abib. Who would celebrate a day upon which they put the Messiah of Yahweh to death? Anyway, continuing with this discussion, the scriptural head of the year, Rishon Kadashim Hashanah, or a shortened form, Rosh Hashanah, is the new moon in the first month of the year, called Abib, preceding Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, not the Day of Trumpets. We've learned that there are two titles for the end of the year, Batzit Hashanah, and Tekufat Hashanah. Now, one could stretch and twist the scriptures a bit and reason that if there is an end of a year, it also must be the beginning of a new year. Yeah, that's it. It must be a new year. Yeah, that'll work. Except for a small problem. The first of the year feasts arrive at a time of an agricultural beginning, culminating in the end of the harvest season at the Feast of Ingathering. The period in between is only 6 months, because Israel has apparently a 6-month growing period. It just seems to me that the new year celebrated by Judah, beginning at the Day of Trumpets, is a man-made day. Ironically, just as the West has imitated Yahweh's feasts by creating their own two sets of 8-day feasts, Christmas to New Year's and Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, Ishtar Sunday. It has also copied the idea of blowing trumpets on the first day of the growing of the Gregorian year, January 1st. What a tangled web is woven when one religion copies another religion's traditions. Both then miss the mark. In Leviticus 23, verses 23 and 24, we find the commandment to keep the Day of Trumpets. It reads, "Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel," that's B'nai Israel, from the Hebrew word ben, or son, or literally, builders of Israel. And Yisrael, spelled Yod-Sin, Resh Aleph Lamed, meaning he will rule with the power of El, which is from the word Sarah, meaning power, and El, meaning mighty one. Pictographically, Yisrael means the hand of the head of strength, shepherds, or if you will, the hand of Yahweh rules. Who is the hand of Yahweh? Of course, it is Yahshua, the one to whom Yahweh gave all power and glory. And continuing on, saying, in the seventh, and that word there is Shiva, which means sacred or full, month, Kadesh, or new moon, on the first day. Interestingly, not Rosh, but Echad, meaning one, first or united of the months. You shall have a Sabbath rest. That word there is Shabbat, a Sabbatism, or special holiday. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. And that word there is Truah, which means an alarm or an acclamation of joy, a loud noise, a splitting of the ears. Interestingly, no mention is made of a shofar or a trumpet in this verse. However, if you've ever sounded a ram's horn, you know that the bell of the horn is pointed right into your left ear. A holy, that is, kodesh, holy, sacred, or set apart, convocation, which is the word mikra, or gathering of ones called out, also means a rehearsal. Let us read verses 23 and 24 of Leviticus 23 according to their literal Hebraic meaning about the Day of Trumpets. That would read, Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty. On the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in a sacred rehearsal. Let me repeat that. Yahweh is speaking through Moses to the builders who will rule with the power of the Almighty. On the seventh new moon, memorialize joy and alarm in the sacred rehearsal. A sacred rehearsal, a sacred acting out of something that is to come. A rehearsal for what? Well, today, this day is the rehearsal for that day, when rehearsing will no longer be permitted. And that day is, well, it's on the day that no one knows the day or the hour. Matthew 24, verses 36 and 37 reads, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. We don't know when our rehearsing will culminate in the most important day of our lives, but we do know that the Day of Trumpets is the only holy convocation about which we cannot predict the day or the hour. That's because it falls on the seventh new moon of the year, a day upon which we must watch the heavens, knowing what we're looking for. We also know from Scripture that this day will be both joyous and alarming. And it will involve or revolve around people who have been rehearsing for that day, when they will be responsible to rule. by the precepts, laws, and ordinances of Yahweh. Who are these builders? 1 Kings 5, verse 18. So Solomon's builders and others prepared timber and stones to build the temple. The temple of Yahweh was built, destroyed, and rebuilt by Israel. Building the physical temple of Yahweh was the rehearsal for those in the latter days who will build the kingdom of Yahweh. In that day to come, those who believe and obey are the very building blocks, the living stones, and literally the living Father, Son of the temple of Yahweh. 1 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by Yahweh and precious, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy, and that would be Kodesh, priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yahweh through Yahshua Messiah. And continuing in verses 6 and 7, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, and I would say and do, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stones, and the word stone there actually means the Father and Son, which the builders rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. In verse 8 of 1 Peter 2, we read, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. Those who believe and therefore obey the word, the law, the teachings of Yahweh, are in the process of becoming, of being built up to be the house of Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah, who is the cornerstone, the rock upon which we stand. Psalm 118, verses 24 through 26. This is the day which Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Yahweh, do save, we beseech you. O Yahweh, we beseech you, do send prosperity. And that word prosperity is not about money. It's about everlasting life. Okay, verse 26. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of Yahweh. Baruch haba, Hashem Yahweh. We have blessed you from the house, that is, the temple of Yahweh. Luke 13, verse 35. And this is Yahshua speaking to the Pharisees. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. Yahshua told the people of Judah what will happen to them. And we see that in Matthew 21, verses 42 and 43. Yahshua said to them, have you never read in the scriptures the stone? And that word stone in Hebrew is the word eben. And if we look at the word eben, it's Aleph, Bet, Nun. The Aleph and Bet form the word father, Ab. And the word Bet, Nun form the word son. So the stone here is a pictorial representation of the father and the son. The stone, which the builders rejected, rejecting the Father and the Son by making up their own doctrines, has become the chief cornerstone. This was Yahweh's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of Elohim will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it, bearing the fruits of the Father and the stone, the law of Yahweh. In Revelation 2, verses 25 through 27, But hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works, in other words, this is Yahshua speaking, he who walks the same path that I did in keeping my Father's law, and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Now, then he describes the power that will be given. Verse 27, he shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father. What an amazing gift and responsibility, a responsibility that begins now in keeping the will of Yahweh and abiding by his laws, his commandments, his statutes, and ordinances. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Messiah himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of Yahweh cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. Who are the sinners being referred to here? First of all, what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sinners, therefore, are those outside of the law of Yahweh. The word has been spoken. Yahweh gave the law to the Israelites. He spoke to them of the coming Messiah. And as Paul says, the evangel, which the world knows as in the word gospel, the evangel was given at Mount Sinai. But because the Israelites did not have faith, they could not abide in the law of Yahweh and were therefore punished. He had them rehearse each step of the plan of salvation, which are each identified by the phrase holy convocation, or in Hebrew, Mikra Kodesh, of which Roshon Kadesha HaShanah is the first high Sabbath of his second coming. This is Yahweh's plan of salvation. And the question is, are you one of those builders of the kingdom of Yahweh? One of those who will rule with the power of Elohim? Are you one of the children of Israel, carrying the name of Yahweh, having the law written on your heart and in your mind? Well then, if so, blessings to you. If not, then may Yahweh in his long-suffering and mercy reach out to you and do whatever it takes to bring you to him for his name's sake. In Yahshua's mighty and loving name, hallelujah.